Amen. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We are finishing the message we started last Wednesday, so I wanted to be able to get this in. And Larry told me on Sunday that he proved to the teenagers he could tell a worse joke than Pastor Legault, and I'm not telling that joke, okay? But I don't think he can. Okay, and I have a Christmas joke for you that I heard, and I'm sorry. When I told it to Derek and Sammy and Judy last night, they just looked at me and went, okay. And it's just as simple. Why did Santa Claus not like eating Hostess ding-dongs? Because he preferred and only loved ho-ho-ho. See, you're smiling because that joke is so bad. They don't know what a Hostess Twinkie is anymore? Or ho-hos? Okay, alrighty. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the what? The gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, the part I enjoy with the passage in this is the gifts in the context of the chapter is apostle, evangelist, pastors and teachers. Okay? That's a gift, and whether you realize it or not, if you don't see Pastor Kinney as a gift, he's a gift, okay, that keeps on giving. Oh, we were looking in some different gifts. Tomorrow night, we're doing Legault Christmas, right, Carla? Okay, so we're Legault Christmas at our house because we're going to be leaving and then and stuff. And so and it's one of those things. And guess what? Now our family, that is us and Karen and Walter, they're honorary Legos. I don't know how you want to put it that way. Okay? Because they're part of our, this is part of, we're part of a family unit together. And so we're coming together. And I thought of some silly gifts. Okay? And have you ever noticed that sometimes, you know, with gift exchanges, sometimes it's, they're not really nice gifts. Amen. You've ever run into that? Okay. One thing they're not doing, I haven't heard anything about this year, you're not doing a ugly Christmas sweater contest. Okay. I kept looking about wanting to buy a sweater and wearing it just in case. Okay. And Judy's given me some sweaters that could win that competition. Okay, see, you know what it comes down to? You know what you have with that, though? What you need to realize is sometimes, do you ever have someone give you a gift and you go, oh, I love that, and then it only comes out when they come? Okay, I can remember, I'll give one story, and then I'll get to the message, I promise. AJ and Sheila got married, right? Sheila had an aunt that came over from the Philippines for their wedding. And she brought them a gift, and the Filipinos, the gifts are very important. And so she brought her a concrete toad that was painted gold, so it looked like it was valuable, and had little red ruby eyes glued on the thing. And so, of course, Sheila, very gracious young lady, oh, thank you. And she's talking to her aunt. She says, thank you so very much. And you work. She's so proud. This woman didn't have much. She did from the Philippine sandwich, but she brought it over, okay? And she gave it to them. Now, they've traveled to Hawaii to do their wedding. We're over there doing the wedding and stuff there. And the thing weighed about 15, 20 pounds. And this woman brought it over. Guess what? It became part of the lawn ornaments of the very expensive hotel that they stayed in. That lady's never going to come back from the Philippines to Hawaii. And she thought she was doing something really, and it was special because it was the best she could do. Do you realize that our Savior only gives us the best gifts? The best gifts. And last week we looked at the fact that he giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we spent time and we talked about that. Then we look at that he gives peace. In John 14, 27, he says, my peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He gives peace. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And we spent time talking about that peace and the need that we have that in our life. And peace is not something that comes from the lack of conflict or problems in your life. Peace is an inner thing that allows you to come through it and have peace. I can still remember, I've talked about it years ago, and I can't remember the full illustration, but there was back when they used to do the World's Fairs and the stuff, and they'd have it, and they had one in Chicago. This was back in the 1920s. Yes, before I was born, young people, okay? I wasn't there before dirt was invented, okay? So we turn around with this, and they had this, and one of the things they did is they had people trying to enter pitchers that best, and there was a $5,000 reward. Well, 1927, $5,000 is like worth over $100,000 now, okay? And it was a $5,000 reward offered for the pitcher that best illustrated piece. And they showed, I don't know how many of you ever remember Dan Andre, he used to draw these pictures of the cabin on the Serene Lake. And there's some that used to hang in the other building, or they'd show these beautiful pictures of something we think is it. Well, that's a peaceful setting, or it'd be the sheep in the field, and that's a peaceful setting. And there was really beautiful pictures, and none of them won. You know the one that won? It was the picture of a mother bird sitting on her nest with the little heads of the chicks poking out. And the nest was built in a tree that was growing out of the side of a waterfall. With the water torrent running down, it could have ripped it out of its roots at any one point. The piece had nothing to do with the safety of the situation. It had everything to do that the mother was taking care of her young. And they felt protected. The chicks looked for the mother to bring peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because you trust in him, right? He gives his people peace. He gave his words. We looked at that in John 17. He gave his word, so we know what he wants of us. We have a God that lets us know what is required. Micah 6:8, turn there. That's not my message, but I know this, and I've said this when my son, he's used it a couple times, when he had to give speeches, when he won these major national awards, and they asked him what was the thing that he lived by. Micah is in the Old Testament, all right? It's one of the minor prophets. You got it? Have you found it? Micah 6 in verse 8, and I've mentioned this before. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but that to do what? do the right thing. And to love what? And to do what? Humbly with thank God. God doesn't give us the Christian life and say, okay, I saved you. Now, go learn from your mistakes. Because if he did, you know what we would do? I know of a preacher, I'm not going to mention the name, the guy wrote a book. Okay, and I won't give you the title because then you'll know who wrote it. Okay, some of you might even own this. His whole Christian ministry has been going, well, I think I'm going to go in this direction. Well, I guess God doesn't want me to go there, so I'm going to go in this direction. I guess I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this. You know what he's doing? He's experientially trying to live his Christian life. We choose to do evil. God, he reveals his will. There's messages preached about that. So he gives his word to his disciples so we know what he'd have of us. Do you know that God will not save a person who rejects the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son? And he told us that. And he tells us how to please him. And he tells us that he loves us. And he tells us that sometimes he's going to correct us extreme. Whom the Lord loveth, he and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you receive not chastening, then ye are bastards and not sons. Scripture. I'm not trying to teach kids bad language. All right? That means that someone who is not a legitimate child of God. Sometimes that discipline is given to keep them from having it cost them more later on. Okay? So he gives his word so we know what he expects of us. Pastor Keene and I, we've talked about it a lot. There's something that he understands this thing. And I said, you know what? I said, you got to be able to get at the truth with people because you know what? You can't take care of what you don't know. You can't help when we don't know that there needs to be help. You can't do something you need to know. Right? So he gives us his word, so that we can do what? We can know. And then he gives us a free will because then we can demonstrate that we have accepted his love by being obedient to him and reciprocating that love. And Jesus made it very plain. You can't say that you love me and do not what I command you. So he gives his word. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll continue on. I only got two more points in this message. And this is Christ's gifts to us, part two, okay? He gave his life for the sheep. He gives peace to his people. He gives his word to his disciples. Because that's when that's the one who's going to receive the word. You can be a saved person and not be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the way you become a disciple is you follow him. And if you're going to follow him, you got to know how to follow him. So he gives you his word so you can be a good follower. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me see here. Verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, 2 Corinthians 12, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. One of the problems that pastors have, you know, that is sometimes you help somebody, you get somebody through, you lead someone to the Lord, you disciple them, and next thing you know, they put you on a pedestal. And then sometimes you come off of that pedestal, and it affects their view of their Savior. That lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there is given me a thorn in the flesh. There's a spiritual attack taking place. And God's allowing it to help me to learn something. Isn't that what it's saying? Paul had, he gave us over half, God used him to give us over half of the New Testament. 27 books, New Testament, 14 of them were from him. Because I include the book of Hebrews, okay? And he says, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. When I read that passage, who do you think of maybe in the Old Testament who kind of had a special relationship with God? And God allowed Satan to attack. It wasn't because God didn't love Job, and it's not because God doesn't love Paul. You understand what I'm saying to you? Sometimes when something comes, the messenger of Satan, they believe that that Paul was attacked in his physical body and he was going blind. That's what some theologians believe. I don't know. All I know is a spiritual attack. And Paul had biblical knowledge beyond anyone else except the author. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, so it attacked him physically, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. You know what that means, to buffet somebody? Backhand, forehand, backhand, forehand, backhand, forehand. That's to buffet somebody. You understand the background of the words, the etymology of the words. You need to, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Paul was getting hammered. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and he said, oh, my child, I'll take it from you, that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. He was sick a lot. In reproaches. He was attacked a lot. In necessities, he didn't have a lot. In persecutions, do you understand what's happening here? In distresses, he was going from one catastrophe to the next. For Christ's sake, for when I am what? I am strong. You know what God will do? He'll give you strength when you're weak. It's so the power of Christ can rest upon you. Paul had to learn he couldn't depend upon his superior biblical understanding or superior direct revelation from God or superior being able to talk to people. Can you imagine trying to debate with the Apostle Paul? No. Okay? And God allowed that so that he had to realize that his strength, his shield, his protection was not found in him. It was found in Jesus Christ. And that's one of the greatest gifts God can give. I fail people all the time. My Savior never fails me. He gives strength to the weak. And he loves us. So I'm going to give you the last one. I want you to turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. He wants them to hear him. Sometimes, don't you just want God to, you know, to know that God hears you? But you're going through it, so sometimes it doesn't seem like he is because he's allowing you to go through it. It's because his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be the doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. He will give grace and glory to his own. Know ye not, you're bought with a price. You're not of yourselves. Therefore glorify God with your body and with your spirit, which are his. I am his and he is mine. It's the only time that I feel comfortable being put in a feminine position. I'm part of the bride of Christ. Outside of that, try to make me feminine, but I'm going to nail you. Okay? But he gives grace and glory to his own. Just turn over a page. It's a page in my Bible. I want you to look at Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Look at verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of what? And sometimes you don't think about that because you don't see him. You ever feel like people are not compassionate towards you in this, what you're going through? And God's trying to say to you, I see it. Now look to me. Full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in what? Mercy and truth. See, he gives grace, mercy and truth. He gives it to us. Grace is unmerited favor. Judy and I were having the conversations today. You know, do you realize what's taking place nationally right now as we head into Christmas season? There's been 3 separate shootings. How would you like it? You send your kid to a Christian school and a 15-year-old girl pulls out a gun and shoots and kills a teacher and another student, and 2 other more are in critical care and 2 have been released, but there was 6 people shot by a 15-year-old girl in a Christian school in Madison, Wisconsin. 400 and some odd students in the school. I guarantee you it costs probably $20,000 or better to go to that school. 400 students, a Christian school? Not a public school. Do you understand me? That's because the only place you're fully safe is in the arms of your Savior. At Christmas time, shootings, suicides go up at Christmas time because people feel not loved and accepted. And God says, I am going to give you grace. Unmerited favor. You are going to be special to me even when you don't deserve it. That's what grace is. In other words, it's not grace. It's earned reward. Grace is unearned favor. Judy does not eat sweets hardly anymore at all. She doesn't eat bread hardly anymore at all. She tried making bread, and the Kyles were not trying to be a blessing to us. They ground it for us. We haven't bought a mill for it yet. And so they ground flour for us because we bought the berries and stuff. It's supposed to be much more healthy because you're not getting all the junk put in it, and it's not bleached, it's not this, it's not that, and it's very healthy. She doesn't eat it. But she loves me, and I love bread. So guess what she did? She found a way to have it ground without it costing me that anywhere from $280 to $1,000 for the particular whatever mill you buy, because we've checked the prices. Okay, you can get a cheap one for the $280, but normally they're more than that, okay? And she baked bread. And I got to have bread that's healthy for me. And not Wonder Bread. You know, you know what Wonder Bread is? It's you wonder what's in the bread. Okay? And so then, not only that, she's baked in my house. They're peppermint patties, homemade. I love peppermint patties. There's peanut butter balls. Some people call them Buckeyes. They call them all these things. I love them. She doesn't eat them. She made nut cups. I love them. She doesn't eat them. You know what I know? She's trying to treat me how? With unmerited favor. With grace. She falls short of Jesus Christ in this. She makes them for me, and then when I want to eat them till they're gone, she goes, "You can't do that." Unmerited favor. I want to show you what you think that is. Making someone know that they are loved even when they are unlovely. Christ died for the ungodly. So there's grace. Now I want you to turn to first, let me see here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He said he will give grace and what? Glory to his own. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I got to find it myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 7. I want you to think about the number of times you see the word glory or glorious in this passage, okay? But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones, what's that talking about? The Ten Commandments, the law. If that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, because the law was done away with, because the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather what? For if the ministration of condemnation, because the law convicts you of your sin, be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For even that which was made glorious hath no glory in this respect by the reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away with was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, let us use plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in. What happened to the veil in the temple? It was rent in twain, separated the holy from the Holy of Holies. Nevertheless, when it shall be turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the what? Same image from what? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Changed into the... He gives us His personal glory. Verse 7, glorious, and then glory, glory. Verse 8, glorious. Verse 9, glory, glory. Verse 10, glorious, glory, glory. Verse 11, glorious, glorious. Verse 18, glory, glory, glory. Now, what is that? Colossians chapter 1. You don't even have to agree with me on this. This is something I asked God to show me, and I looked at it today, was trying to find certain things, and I go, okay, Lord, help me understand this a little bit better. Because you read that passage, sometimes you can get caught up in the ministration of this and condemnation and the ministration of the righteousness and what is this going on here? What's taking place? All right? Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. The Apostle Paul says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made openly known, that's what manifest means, to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the what? Of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is the hope of glory. I read that, you know, come on, light bulb, come on in my head. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Sometimes God has to work harder on me than other times. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because sometimes he has to show me that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He hath begun a good work and will perform it unto the day of what? And you know what they're going to see? They're going to see us as Christ. And we will partake of and share his glory. He gives it to us as a what? Gift. He gives us grace and then he gives us his glory. Do I have it right now? Still a work in progress. But you know what I do have? I have the hope of it because I have what? Christ in me. And if you're saved here tonight, you have what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's not just heaven. That's a perfect relationship. When every one of my words and every action of my hands and feet and every thought I have will be in tune with his perfect relationship, the hope of glory. And all God's people said, good night and God bless. Merry Christmas.